Last Sunday, we looked at that story that Jesus told of the rich man with his barns. And Jesus ends up simply looking us straight in the eye and saying, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And it's a challenge to us. Where is my treasure? Where does my heart lie? And the passage which Hilary read for us a few minutes ago from Luke chapter 16 is a case in point. We're introduced to two people. We're introduced to this rich man. We don't know his name, but he's obviously fairly well-to-do. When the Bible talks about people wearing purple and fine linen, these are the sharpest designer clothes that he's wearing. This is the latest, the best. He's well-dressed, expensive clothes, the very best of everything. He lives in luxury every day. Here's where his treasure is. However he has made his money, it's poured into living in luxury every day, looking after himself. So that's one of the characters in the story. The other character who is named Lazarus, and interestingly enough, his name means God helps. Lazarus is completely the opposite to this rich man. He's a beggar. He lies at the gate to the rich man's house, and the impression we're given is that he's laid there. He can't actually get there on his own, whatever is wrong with him, and he's laid at the gate, and there he begs. Can you spare me a few pennies? Luke says he looks at the rich man's tables and thinks, I would just love even to have some of the scraps that fall off that. Some of the stuff that you scrape into your brown food bin, you know, I would love to have some of that. Completely the opposite. Now, in all likelihood, the rich man knew about Lazarus. He's lying at his gate day after day. How would he not know about him? Possibly the rich man steps over him, walks past him, and we're told even the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, part of me, when I read that, first of all, thought, oh, that's horrible. And then I thought, well, maybe there's a sort of comfort in that. Maybe not just the sores being licked as a comforting thing. I don't know. But it's interesting. Who was it started the phrase, the dogs in the street? I don't know who started that phrase. But the dogs in the street knew about Lazarus. The dogs in the street paid attention to Lazarus. And the rich man in his comfort ignored him. And so we're introduced to these two characters. And then Jesus says, the inevitable happens. They both die. Death, the great leveler, comes to us all. Lazarus is transported to Abraham's side, which was the place of the righteous. To be at Abraham's side. But the rich man's in torment in hell. Very different situation again. Lazarus in the place of the righteous at Abraham's side. The rich man in absolute torment in hell. When the rich man looks up and calls to Abraham, Abraham, send Lazarus down. Get him to dip his finger into some cold water so he can put it on my tongue and cool my tongue. Interesting. The man who paid no attention to Lazarus when Lazarus was hungry, thirsty, now says, Lazarus, I want you to come down here and look after me. Lazarus, I want you to come down here and just even put water on my lips, my tongue, to cool this thing down. Lazarus, come and pay attention to me. And Abraham answers, in your lifetime, you received your good things. You got what you wanted. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. This rich man, that's all he wanted. Jesus says, just wanted to live in luxury all his days. So Abraham said, that's what you wanted. You lived in luxury all your days, you've had it, you got what you want, no thought for anything or anyone else. That's where you are. Now Jesus is not teaching that the rich go to hell and the poor go to heaven. If that was the case, Abraham wouldn't be where he is. Abraham, you go back and read through the story of Abraham, he's incredibly wealthy. So it's not teaching that. Abraham's very rich and still in heaven. It's the attitude towards those riches. It's the attitude towards what is temporary. And the rich man piles up what is temporary and can be taken from him and ignores what is eternal and can never be taken from him. But it's not even that. It's not even that you've got what you wanted. Abraham goes on to say, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed. There's a great chasm between us. You can't come this way. We can't go that way. There's this chasm between us. There's no movement between the two. So the rich man again calls out, interesting, poor Lazarus doesn't get any peace. Send Lazarus. Send Lazarus to go to my father's house. I've got five brothers down there. Tell them to listen. Tell them to listen. Tell them to pay attention to the scriptures. He's worried that his brothers would end up in the same way. And Abraham says, no. Do you know what? If your mind is closed to the scriptures, if your mind is closed to what God is doing, then not even if someone rises from the dead would you be changed. If a person's mind is closed, if the scriptures are rejected, no evidence, not even a resurrection, will change him. And so the challenge of Jesus comes true. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? This man had it all. And that's all he wanted. His horizons were so blinkered, so narrowed that was all he could see. And he rejected all that God reached out to give him. So where is your treasure? The things which are fading, the things which are passing, or the things which are eternal? Where is your treasure? Because that's where your heart will be. The Bible has a sense of urgency, like a thread running through it. The prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament speaks to God's people and says to them, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Seek God while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. That sense of urgency continues through to the New Testament when Paul says, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Here, now. All these things imply there will be a time when God will not be near. There will be a time when God will not be found. There will be a time when, as Abraham said to the rich man, there is a chasm fixed between us. And there's no movement. And it's too late. It's not just about knowing the Bible. It's much more than that. It's about responding also to the one who has risen from the dead. Jesus doesn't point us towards philosophies and ideas and abstract concepts of life and death. Jesus just continually points back to himself. When Thomas struggles with the fact that Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, you know where I'm going, you know the way, Thomas says, hold on. We don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? Jesus doesn't enter into some philosophical discussion with him. He simply says, Thomas, I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. When Martha and Mary are heartbroken because their brother Lazarus has died, they struggle to understand what's going on. Jesus doesn't come in with some long debate and discussion about life and death. He simply says, I am the resurrection and the life. Points back to himself. It's about Jesus. It's about God's unfailing love for us in Jesus. The Bible says that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. But it's about being in Christ Jesus. Because out of Jesus, outside of Jesus, we do not have that hope. This great chasm that has opened up between us. The writer to the Hebrews simply says, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? How shall we escape? How shall we get across this chasm if we ignore what God has done for us in Jesus Christ? It's the reality. The reality of judgment. We don't like to think about it. We don't like to talk about it. Sometimes we ask, how could the God of love send people to hell? How could the God of love do that? Well, if you ask Abraham, Abraham would say, hang on a minute. You made your choice. You rejected all that God had shown you through Moses and the prophets, through the Bible. You rejected it all. You made your choice. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Jesus died that our sins might be forgiven. Jesus died that we might know that he is the way back to our Heavenly Father. Seek the Lord while he is near. Call on him while he may be found. Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. The rich man and his brothers, obviously grown up in the whole Jewish culture, obviously knew the scriptures, obviously knew about Abraham, but they hadn't really listened. I think I've told you before that growing up, if mum asked any of us to do anything, she would ask us to do it. And then if we didn't do it, she would say, did you not hear me? And at that stage, she wasn't questioning my hearing ability. She was questioning the fact that if you heard me, how come you haven't done it? How come you haven't listened? How come you haven't responded? Some years ago, a man told me about belonging to a church, a very well-known church, and said, Stephen, I'd attended there for a lifetime, and I never heard the gospel preached. And I looked quite shocked because it would be known for the proclamation of the gospel. And he said, Stephen, you're not hearing me right, that I never heard the gospel. It was preached. I never heard it. I never listened. Abraham points out to this rich man and to his brothers, you've heard it, but you haven't listened. You've heard it, but you haven't responded. You have decided where your treasure is. You have set your heart there, and you have not escaped because you have ignored the salvation that God offers you. It's not about some time in the future when it would be more convenient, handier, easier. It's about now. Knowing that we can't pull ourselves out of this chasm by our bootlaces, by our ears. We are dependent on Jesus, the one who died for us, the one who says, I am the way, the truth, the life, the one who says, I am the resurrection and the life, and calls us to him. Have you listened? Not to Stephen. Have you listened to God in his word? Have you listened to Jesus graciously reach out to you? And if you have you responded? May God give us the grace not only to hear, but to respond in obedience, so that we may know the blessedness of living in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we get so fixated upon things around us, so caught up, so consumed with the things that we can see and feel and touch, that we lose sight of that which is eternal and unchanging. Forgive us, we pray. Lord, do not let us rest until we have done business with you. Lord, may your Holy Spirit disturb us until we find our rest in Jesus. And then, Lord, may we live to the praise of your glory. And this we ask in the strong name of Jesus, who is mighty to save. Amen.